every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
And it all has to do with you. Thanks for tuning in. It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Come on around back, Arizona, 8 o'clock, Saturday morning, third Saturday of the month. We are joined with Jay Harper, talking anything about your landscape, garden, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com if you need to snap a picture and send it to us for a little plant or insect identification. It is such nice weather right now. You know, you gotta really enjoy it. And so many people follow that up by saying, yeah, but you know what's coming. Don't worry about it. Well, it's not here yet.
Nothing you can do about that anyway, yeah, exactly. So you better soak it up.
So enjoy. Get out and enjoy.
Yeah, it's I mentioned to you when I came in, we were talking, you know, off air, and I just said it. Mid-April is probably, I think, my favorite time of year here in the Valley, because everything's, you know, the landscape material is all blooming. The Palo Verdes are blooming. Ooh, the Ocotillas are blooming. Saguaros are budding. You know, you start to see some of the hedgehogs and different native cacti are blooming. Oleanders. I don't care what people say about oleanders, but those great big hedges of oleanders that are in full bloom, holy cow, they're magnificent.
And if you're new to Arizona, a hedgehog is not something you touch.
No, probably not. Probably a good idea not to pet them. The temperatures this time of year from now to hopefully for a few weeks yet through mid or late May when, it, you know, even 90, I call it 60-90 weather, you know, 90 high, 90 degrees highs, 60 degree lows, to me is perfect. You know, if I was going to live somewhere with a perfect climate, that would be it for me. I mean, you can walk out in the morning with whatever you're wearing that day. You don't need a jacket, and you can be comfortable all day and into the evening when the sun goes down. It's just, you know, wonderful.
So all day weather.
All day weather. Yeah, it's fantastic. So, and it's great weather for gardening too. So,
which is what we're talking about this hour: gardening and landscaping. And we have a text question that's already come in. We were going to get to this a little later, but sounds like somebody is planning their morning and wants to know, should they overseed the lawn right now?
Well, I assume they mean changing from winter ryegrass into a summer lawn.
Yes, should we fertilize our overseeded lawn right now?
Fertilize our overseeded lawn. Okay, well, no. Probably a little. You're wanting now the winter lawn to start transitioning. And by the middle of next month, you want the ryegrass or the winter rye, the winter lawn, to pretty much be dead. So now's the time of year you start mowing it a little shorter. You know, each week maybe lower that lawnmower a notch. Do not increase the water. I wouldn't take the water away from it yet. But if you start lowering your mowing heights, don't increase the water, don't fertilize it. Here in a couple of weeks, it's inevitable. We'll have maybe something close to 100 degrees, or we'll nudge it. That rye will start looking a little burnt up. In fact, I've noticed some of them already are starting to stress out just a little bit.
That has no shade.
Uh-huh.
Half of it's already burned up.
Yeah.
And my front lawn that's got a mulberry on each side is just as green as the mulberry leaves are right now.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, if you have a summer lawn, a Bermuda grass or hybrid Bermuda grass lawn underneath that ryegrass, it needs to start coming back. And the longer you keep that ryegrass going, enabling it by watering more, fertilizing, that sort of thing, you're going to start impacting and stressing the Bermuda grass underneath, because it can't survive in dormancy for that long. It needs to wake up and come out and grow. So you need to eliminate the shade canopy that the ryegrass is providing. You need to eliminate the competition that the ryegrass roots are providing for water and nutrients. And there's no real perfectly smooth way to do it. But if you kind of start easing into it now, it will help. And then I usually figure about Mother's Day weekend, then I'll just almost literally scalp that ryegrass and maybe turn the water off for a few days or a week just to kind of really get it burn up. Get in there, dethatch, get rid of much of that fluff and dander and thatch of that ryegrass and open up some of that canopy for that Bermuda grass. Then throw some fertilizer to it and kick your water up a little bit and should be on your way.
So appreciate the text. Don't need to run out and grab any fertilizer. Just lower that.
Well, you need fertilizer. Don't do it right now.
Yeah. But for this morning.
Go buy a bag of fertilizer and store it for a little bit.
Lower that lawnmower blade a notch or two and mow it and you'll be good for now. It really is. You know, when we talk about water savings and summer versus winter lawns, it really does make a lot of sense what you've been saying for years to forget about the Bermuda. You know, it's hot. You're not spending a lot of time out there in the summer anyway. When you're rolling it, it's a lot itchier than the rye. Mm-hmm. You know, if you want to have a lawn, forget about a summer one. Plant your winter rye, enjoy it for 6-8 months, and it's the time of year you'd spend more time out on it anyway.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Well, I was repeating what you said.
And the ryegrass, a lot of winters, we didn't have it so much this winter, but a lot of winters, you know, you don't even have to water it. We get enough rain spaced out every week or two that there's been many a winter I've had the sprinkler controller shut off completely. If you're looking at the concept of xeriscaping in its purest form, it's matching lifestyle with your landscape. And if you don't have kids or pets, you know, the chances of you needing any grass anyway are not great. So what do you do on grass lawns? You play ball. The dogs enjoy it. They do what, you know, they need it to be cool and to have a place to do their business and that sort of thing. But, if you're an empty nester and you don't have a dog and you don't have grandkids coming over and that sort of thing, then you don't need any grass or very much grass to begin with. It's pretty to look at, but there's a lot of things that are pretty to look at. So that's first step. Second step is when are we using our, you know, what is our landscape for? I mean, is it for outdoor space, for living? You know, in Arizona, we're fortunate enough that darn near year-round we can be outside, doing living stuff, you know, cooking, enjoying the weather, swimming, that sort of thing. So if you're, you know, come July or August, So you get in the pool and you get out and you go inside, you know, you're not hanging out in the backyard very darn much. And you just look at that green grass through the window. Well, it's not getting used that time of year. It seems kind of silly to some degree. So I think it's a concept that needs to be considered.
Well, we've stopped doing a backyard.
There you go. A lot of places with code restrictions and code enforcement, and you know, you might have a hard time letting your front yard turn brown. And I don't, you know, if I was living across the street from you, I might not like it either. But that might be what artificial turf is for—the front yard. Just saying.
And a great application, and it's come so far in its, you know, the last 20 years from the. You know, what it started out looking like indoor-outdoor.
I was probably the biggest critic. I mean, some people came to us early on and wanted us to, when we had the nursery, to be a distributor and install it. And I said, nobody's going to do that. What the heck would you want with artificial turf, blah, blah, blah. And the stuff wasn't that great to begin with. It was certainly better than the AstroTurf, we all called that stuff that you put on your apartment or condominium balcony. But I tell you what, I was couldn't have been more wrong when it came to how good it looks, how applicable it is, and the amount of people that are installing it. I don't blame them because I have some. I confess.
Front yard or backyard?
In the front. And it's an odd shape. We live in a cul-de-sac, so it's a little bit of an odd-shaped front yard anyway, and it has different, you know, it has some roll to it. And so it was always kind of a funny, hard little thing to mow anyway. So, but it, for curb appeal, it needs some green. It need, you know, I...
Now, if you live in a cul-de-sac with John J. Harper and he puts artificial lawn in the front yard, that's a clear sign it's okay. If John J. does it, it's okay. It's acceptable. It's stamped of approval.
Yeah. But, you know, it was one of those things like, you know, somebody saying that internet thing, that's never going to last. That's a fad.
I've been to some home shows and some artificial turf looks just like Bermuda because you can get it in 1, 2, 3, 4-inch blades. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, and they even have brown thatch woven into it, so it's not perfect. You know, it's got some really? Little bit of brown yeah. down
now
in
that
it.
That I
oh,
haven't
yeah.
seen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Authentic.
Wow.
It looks authentic.
Yeah, so not a bad way to go.
Not a bad way to go, and very water use-wise, you know, obviously you're not watering it regularly. Some people will install it with the sprinkler system, so over time... You know, especially if you have pets and dogs, even the way that they're designed to drain, sometimes you still need to.
Well, it gets hot, you know. So there are some applications that it can be problematic because it is hot. So if you've got kids and pets, and your lawn is in full sun, you want them to play on it or walk on it, you probably need to cool it off. And if you have pets, obviously you need to wash it off, but. Yeah, it's
not a zero water solution, but a much less water solution by, you know, probably 90, 95%.
For some folks, it's a good solution.